There's something very ironic about the Rambam. Rambam being Maimonides, author of Mishneh Torah, whose book we're going to be studying for the next 3 years. Isn't that exciting? What's ironic is, as we'll learn in the introduction over the next few days, the Rambam wrote his books, the 14 books of Mishneh Torah. He wrote these books for the non-scholar to be able to study all of Torah law. That's his stated goal, mission statement, in the introduction. I'm writing this book so that people who don't have access to study the entire Talmud and to be able to delve into it and understand all of it and all of its nuances, I want to give those people an opportunity to be able to go through the entire Torah. Beautiful. Genius. Fantastic. But what happened over many centuries is that Rambam, this book that he wrote for the everyday man, the everyday Joe, became the province of scholars who were splitting hairs over what did the Rambam mean here and what did the Rambam mean there and how do we explain this Rambam and it contradicts with another Rambam. It became something like, ooh, we're studying Rambam. It's something very esoteric that the scholars were engaged in as a specialty field. And it was lost as something for the common person to have a tool to cover the entire Torah, get through the entire Torah law. This was the case until 1984, only 10 years after I was born. The Rebbe got up, Lubavitcher Rebbe, on the last day of Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach, and he said, we're starting something new and awesome. And that is, we're going to give the Rambam back to the people. We're going to make the Rambam, the study of Rambam, something that is for everyone again. And I think there's something beautiful here from the Rambam to the Rebbe. The underlying foundation there is that the Torah is the inheritance of every single Jew. It's not the province of the scholars of a select elite part of the Jewish people. It's the inheritance of every single Jew. And so the Rambam writes, the Rambam was an incredible genius. And it could have been tempting for him, perhaps, to write a very scholarly work, splitting hairs and delving into nuances. Instead, he dedicated his life to writing things that everybody could understand. In fact, most of his books were written in Arabic because that was the common language. It wasn't the scholarly language. He wanted everyone to be able to read it. He didn't want people to say, ooh, the Rambam, he wrote a very sophisticated book. He wrote it for the people, even though he was one of the most incredible geniuses we've ever had. And the Rebbe, in a similar vein, brought it back to the people. And so what we're going on, a journey now, a three-year journey, a marathon, and I like to compare it to, we're going on a train, we're going to be traveling through various cities, we're going to be seeing the Swiss Alps, we're going to be seeing the streets of Paris, we're going to be going through winter, we'll be going through summer, and you're going to see all the different colors and flavors of Torah law. Sometimes it'll feel like you're chugging up a mountain, and it'll be hard. Some of these laws are very, very difficult and take a lot of mental concentration. Some of them are awe-inspiring. Some of them are emotional. Some of them are very philosophical. We'll be seeing it all. And if we stick through it, with it, 20 minutes a day, either by coming on the live Zoom, or if you can't make it, to use the app, where you can hear recordings of other rabbis doing it and teaching it, you will cover the entire breadth of Torah law in the only way possible, because the Rambam is the only one who put it all into one package. And in this way, you're also uniting with Jews around the world who are also engaged in this study, each at their level. That's the beautiful thing. You can take your 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. You could take the same chapter and spend 3 hours on it. You can delve into all the footnotes. You can look up the Talmudic source for it. Everybody is able to do it at their level. And so without further ado, we're going to start today's Rambam. Today's Rambam, the section of Rambam that we study on the very first day of the new cycle, is the introduction to the Rambam's book. Now, the Rambam wrote an introduction to his book, and many people say, I don't read introductions to books. When's the last time you read an introduction to a book? You go straight to chapter one. No, but if the Rambam wrote it, it's important. He wouldn't have written it if he didn't need it. And what the Rambam will give us is the foundation of the history of Jewish law and the transmission from Sinai all the way to the days of the Talmud. And then he'll explain what his book is about. So without further ado, let us start today's Rambam. We're going to do one section of the introduction. We're not going to go through the whole introduction, just one section of the introduction. So it starts over here. B'shem Hashem Kel Olam. In the name of God, Master of the world. The Rebbe actually said about this that the reason the Rambam starts off with this verse, B'shem Hashem Kel Olam, in the name of the Lord, name of God, Lord of the world, is he's trying to say all of this that I accomplished, which is really incredible. In fact, academics don't believe that one man was able to write all this. It must have been a team of scholars, they claim. No, of course, the Rambam did it. But he says, I'm not taking the credit for all of this achievement. B'shem Hashem Kel Olam. God is the one who made this all possible. And then he quotes a verse from Psalms 119. Oz lo yevosh b'habiti al kol mitzvisecha. Then I will not be ashamed when I gaze at all your mitzvot. What does he mean by that? He means that through this work that he wrote, a person is able to have set his eyes upon all the mitzvos of God and doesn't have to be ashamed that he's a Jew and does not know the laws of the Torah. Kol ha-mitzvah shenitnu l'Moshe m'Sinai b'pirush shenitnu. Rambam begins by telling us that all the mitzvahs, all of the commandments that were given to Moses at Sinai were given with their explanation. So just for example, it says in the Torah, you shall place them as signs upon your arm and as totafot between your head. We know those as tefillin, these black boxes with the straps and what's inside it. And we have even have our sofer on tonight, Rabbi Potash from Redwood City. He can tell us more about the tefillin. But the Torah doesn't explain how that mitzvah is supposed to be done. So Rambam is telling us that all the mitzvahs that God gave Moshe at Sinai, he gave it along with an explanation, even if that explanation is not written in scripture, in the written law. Shenemar, as it says, Ve'etna lecha esluchah yisa'evan v'atayra v'amitzvah. So the verse in Exodus says, God says to Moshe, I'm going to give you these tablets of stone and the Torah and the mitzvah. And this the Rambam is going to talk about these two words, Torah and mitzvah. What's the difference between Torah and mitzvah? So he says Torah means teaching. That's when the Torah puts down, you know, put it as a sign upon your arm and totafot between. That's a Torah. That's a teaching. It's an idea. But it doesn't guide you. It doesn't direct you exactly what you need to do. How do I put a sign on my arm? How do I put totafot between my eyes? That is not Torah, that's mitzvah. Mitzvah means guidance. It's usually translated as commandment, but it means direction. So as Rambam says, Torah zu Torah shebiksav. Torah, that's the written Torah. And mitzvah, that is the explication of the Torah, the directive. V'tzivon u'laseh ha-Torah al-pi mitzvah. And God commands us to fulfill the Torah with the help of the mitzvah, of the explanation of how it's done. And this mitzvah is called Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Torah that was given over by mouth, meaning orally, from teacher to student, and was not written down. So you have Torah in the Hebrew, is Torah Shebiksav, Ktav means to write, something written, and the oral Torah, Ba'al Peh, Peh being the word for mouth, that is given over orally. Kol HaTorah Ktav Moshe Rabbeinu Kodem Shem Shebiksav Yodei. Now Rambam gives us the history of the written Torah. He says that Moshe wrote the entire Torah, five books of Moses, before he died, in his hand. So he was a sofer too. What do you know? V'nosan sefer l'chol shevet shevet. He gave one Torah scroll to each of the 12 tribes, and one scroll, a 13th scroll, he placed it in the ark forever. As it says in Deuteronomy, you shall take the Torah and place it in the ark next to the tablets, to be as a testimonial, a place in the Holy of Holies where nobody goes. And it would, if anyone ever questioned, what does it say in the Torah? Maybe these Torahs that are out with the other tribes, maybe they've been somehow corrupted. No, you could always go back to that Torah in the Holy Ark and say, yes, this is exactly what Moses wrote. The explanation, the direction of how this Torah is supposed to be fulfilled, he did not write that down. He commanded it to the elders, to Joshua, and to the rest of the Jewish people. He orally taught it to them, as it is written, and that's why it's called Torah Shebaal Peh, because it was given over, transmitted orally. Even though it was not written, Moshe taught it to his court, to the 70 elders, to Eleazar, who is the son of Aharon, the high priest, to Pinchas, who is Eleazar's son, to Joshua. All of them received it from Moses. What it means, they received it from Moses, even though all the Jewish people heard it from Moses, they were the primary students of Moses, and they heard it many times, and they received it as they were the authorized, the receivers and transmitters to the next generation. Yeshua, Shu Talmid Shemesh Rabbeinu, who was Moshe's primary student, as we read in Pirkei Avot, we just read in Ethics of the Fathers, Moshe passes it on to Joshua, this oral Torah, and tells him, it's your job, pass it on to the next generation. And so Yeshua all of his life, Joshua all of his life, was learning it and teaching it orally. There were many elders who received from Yeshua, from Joshua. And from Joshua all the way to Eli, who was the high priest, there were many generations. There were many elders between Joshua and Eli, the high priest. They received it from those elders and from Pinchas. Shmuel, Samuel, the prophet, he received it from Eli, who was the prophet. Now, the reason is calling all these people elders and then jumping to Eli is because Eli is the bridge between the Zekanim, the elders, and what are known as the prophets. Samuel is the first of the prophets. Some consider Eli the first of the prophets. In any case, he's the bridge between the elders and the prophets. So you got the prophets, they pass it down to Eli, who passes it down to Samuel. David and his court receive it from Samuel. As we know, David was anointed by Samuel. So now we're going to get a bunch of names where the Rambam is showing that it's not just we have a tradition that, oh, it came down, tradition, fiddler on the roof. No, we know exactly who are the players in this chain of transmission. As the Rambam will tell us, it's 40 generations in this chain of transmission till the time of the Talmud. So we're just going to go through a bunch of names. We'll go quickly through it. Achia Hashiloni, he was one of those who exited the Exodus from Egypt. He was a Levi, he was a Levite. He heard it from Moses when he was a child. In the times of Moses, the Hukiba Medavid Bestina, he also received from David Bestina. That means he lived for a very long time. Elijah, famous prophet, he just came to visit us on Pesach. He received it from Achia the Shiloni and his court. Elisha from Elijah and his court. Yehoyada the Kohen from Elisha and his court. Zechariah received from Yehoyada and his court. Hoshea from Zechariah. So these are all prophets. Some more well-known, Eliyahu, Elisha, Zechariah, Hosea. They all received one from the other. Amos, another one of the famous prophets, received from Hoshea and his court. Isaiah received from Amos and his court. Micah received from Isaiah and his court. Joel received from Micah. Nahum received from Joel. Habakkuk, another one of the great prophets, received from Nahum and his court. And Zephaniah received from Habakkuk. Yirmiah, Jeremiah received from Zephaniah. Baruch ben Neriah received from Jeremiah and his court. Ezra and his court received from Baruch ben Neriah and his court. So that was a whole section of the era of the prophets of prophecy. Each great prophet in his time was the purveyor of this oral Torah to the next generation. Now the Rambam comes to another period in this 40-generation chain of transmission from Moses to the Talmud, where it goes from the prophets to the men of the great assembly. So he says, the court of Ezra was the last of the great prophets. They are called the men of the great assembly. They are Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Nehemiah, Ben Chachaliah, Mordechai, Bilshan. That's our Mordechai from the Purim story. Zerubbabel, and many sages among them. In other words, sages that were not prophets. Tashlomei of Esam Zekanim, totaling 120 elders. And the last of these 120 elders of the men of the great assembly was Shimon HaTzadik, Simon the Righteous, If you studied Ethics of the Fathers, chapter 1, you will recognize his name. He's the first one that is quoted in Pirkei Avot. He's one of the 120. He received the oral Torah from all of them, of these 120, and he was the Kohen Gadol, he was the high priest, after Ezra. After Ezra served the high priest, he took over as the high priest. Now the Rambam is going to take us through many names that you will recognize from Pirkei Avot in the era of the pairs, when there were two leaders of each generation. So first it says, Antigonus, the leader of Socho, and his court received from Shimon HaTzadik and his court. Yosef ben Yezer, the leader of Tzereda, and Yosef ben Yochanan, the leader of Jerusalem, and their courts received from Antigonus and his court. Yeshua ben Prachi and Iter Bela received from Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan and their court. Yudah ben Tam Vishim ben Shadach received from Yeshua ben Prachi and Iter Bela. Shmai and Aftal Yoin, Geirei HaTzedek. Interesting, the Rambam points out that the leaders in this generation, Shmai and Aftal Yoin, were converts. And they were the leaders of their generation, they received from Yehuda and Shimon and their courts. Hillel and Shammai, very famous Hillel, and very famous Shammai, received from Shmai and Aftalion. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, also very famous, from Shimon Benai, Shel Hillel Zakin, Kiblu, the Shimon, the son of Hillel the elder, received from Hillel and Shammai and their courts. Rambam now goes to five special students of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. We're also mentioned Ethics of the Fathers. The five students of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai were the great sages who received from him, and they are Rabbi Eliezer the Great, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yossi, Akoin, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano, Rabbi Lezer ben Amrach, and Rabbi Akiva, the son of Yosef, received from Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, and Yosef, Rabbi Akiva's father, was a Ger Tzedek. He was a righteous convert. Interestingly, this is the second time the Rambam is mentioning that in this chain of transmission, you have converts. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir ben Ger Tzedek, another one. Rabbi Meir, the son who was the son of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir, who was the son of a righteous convert, received from Rabbi Akiva, and also received from Rabbi Meir and his colleagues from Rabbi Shmuel. The colleagues, and these are the sages of the Mishnah, by the way. The sages of the colleagues of Rabbi Meir, they are Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Sandler, by the way, is the shoemaker. Rabbi Yochanan the shoemaker, Rabbi Shimon ben Azav, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. And they also, they also received from those of the great. And the colleagues of Rabbi Akiva are Rabbi Tarfon, who you might recognize from the Haggadah. He was one of the elders who was staying up all night in Bnei Brak with Rabbi Akiva discussing the Exodus. He was the teacher of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who was also quoted in the Haggadah, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Gamliel, the elder, received from Rabbi Shimon his father, the son of Hillel HaZaken, the elder, Rabbi Shimon Benai, Shimon his son received from Rabbi Gamliel, his son, who received from him, and Rabbi Shimon his son received from him, and Rabbi Yehuda his son received from Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the holy rabbi. That's Rabbi Yehuda, known also as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He is the author of the Mishnah. And Rambam is going to get to what was so special about him and his authorship of the Mishnah. V'huki bil me'avu v'rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Shimon Chavir, received from his father, and from Elazar ben Shimon, from Shimon and his colleagues. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbeinu the Holy One, which is a very special title, showing that he was a person who was completely removed from the, he was very wealthy, but he was removed from the material pleasures of this world. His whole entire life and consciousness was dedicated to Torah, to God. Rabbeinu HaKadosh authored the Mishnah. He composed what is known as the Mishnah. From the days of Moses, our teacher, all those generations that we just listed, until the holy rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi, the prince, lo chibru chibur shem lamanei subram tishpad, there was nothing that was written down to be taught in public from the oral law. It's not that things weren't written down, but there was nothing official that was, here is the text. Rambam tells us that in every generation, the head of the court, or the prophet, the leader of the day, that was in that generation, would write for himself to remember what he had heard from his teacher. So you would take notes. Everybody had their personal notes that they took from their teachers. And he would then teach it, looking at his notes, to teach the public. But those notes and those writings were not shared publicly. Everybody was writing according to their capacity, explaining the Torah and the laws as they had heard. They were also writing down things that had come up that were new in every generation in regarding laws that had not been taught, that had not been passed down, but they were using the special 13 codes of the Torah in order to extract new laws based on the codes and the rules of the Torah, one of the 13 attributes, as long as these were accepted by the high court. And so it was, says the Rambam, always, for all those generations, until Rabbeinu HaKadosh, until the holy Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who gathered all of these traditions, all of these teachings that were passed from generation to generation, all of these laws and all of these explanations that they had heard going back to Moses, our teacher, and how each that had been passed down from one court to another, one generation to another, in all of Torah, and he made from all of it the book, the Mishnah. And this book became what was taught by the sages in public. It was revealed to all of Israel, the Kasvu Kulam. They all wrote it down, and it became established in all places. And why was this done? Kidei shelo tishtakach Torah shebal peh Yisrael, so that the oral Torah would not be forgotten from the Jewish people. Now Rambam is going to ask what you've been wondering. If it was kept oral and it was not written down for all those generations, what changed that propelled Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi to write it down? What changed? Great question. That's the Rambam's question. Why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh do this? Why didn't he leave things as they were? The answer is because he saw that the students were becoming less and less. And the troubles that the Jewish people were encountering, the persecution, the Roman persecution, was getting worse and worse. He identifies it. Malchus Romi, the Roman kingdom, was spreading in the world and was getting stronger. And the Jewish people were like rolling around. They were being pushed from one place to the next, dispersed to the far ends of the world. And that's why he composed this book called the Mishnah, so that everybody would have a text in order they would be able to study it quickly. He wrote it in such a way that was concise, so it could actually be studied by heart and wouldn't be forgotten. And he spent all his days, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, him and his court, and taught the Mishnah to the masses. So basically what he's saying, the Jewish people were able to survive with the oral Torah for all those generations. They were in the land of Israel. But once the persecution became very serious, once the exiles, the Jewish people, started to disperse, he understood that if he didn't write it down, it would be lost. Now the Rambam is going to tell us, so he gave us the history from Moses through the era of the prophets, through the era of the Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and now he's going to give us this, the transmission from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi until the composition of the Talmud, which is approximately 500 years period. These are the great scholars that were in the court of Rabbeinu HaKadosh and received from him. Shimon and Gamliel, his sons. He had two sons, they received from him. There was a Rabbi Ephes, Rabbi Hanina Mechama, Rabbi Chiyo V'Rav, V'Rabbi Yanai, Bar Kapara, and Samuel, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Hoshaya. These were all great students of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And these are the great sages who received from him. And along with them, there were thousands and tens of thousands of other great sages. And even though these 11 received from Rabbeinu HaKadosh and attended his study sessions, there are differences between them. So Rabbi Yochanan Katan Haya, Rabbi Yochanan, who was one of the great sages of the Talmud. If you studied any Talmud, you probably came across Rabbi Yochanan. He was one of the ones of lesser stature. Then there was a student called Rabbi Yanai, who received Torah from him. And there was Rav, also a very famous teacher of the Talmud. In the Talmud, he received from Rabbi Yanai. Shmuel received from Rabbi Chinina Bar Chama. Now the Rambam is going to tell us that the students of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi also went in his tradition of writing things down. What did they write? Rav wrote a book called Sifra and Sifri, which is a commentary on parts of the Torah to explain how the sages got to their laws based on the verses. How did they extrapolate the verses to show how the verses, the Torah, alludes to the mitzvah? Rabbi Chiya wrote a book called Tosefta, which means addition. to explain what is not clear in the Mishnah. That was Rabbi Yonasan. Also Rabbi Yoshaya and Bar Kapara, they also write Braitot, which are to explain the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan, he wrote a Gemara called the Jerusalem Talmud in the land of Israel. We have this to this day, the Jerusalem Talmud, as opposed to the typical Talmud, which we call the Babylonian Talmud. And that was written after the destruction of the temple, approximately 300 years after the destruction of the temple, and approximately 200 years before the Babylonian Talmud was written. From the great sages who received from Rav Shmuel was Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, Rav Kahana. And from the great sages who received from Rabbi Yochanan was Rabbi Bachana, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asa, Rabbi Dimi, and Rabbi Avin. And from the sages who received from Mahuna was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabba, and Rabbi Yosef. And from the sages who received from Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef was Abaye and Rava, the most famous of the sages of the Talmud. And both of them received from Rabbi Nachman. And from the sages that received from Rava was Rav Ashi and Ravina. And the son, Mar, the son of Rav Ashi, received from his father Rav Ashi and from Ravina. The Rambam has now taken us from Moses all the way to the authors of the Talmud, Rav Ashi and Ravina. Now the Rambam is gonna conclude today's portion of the Rambam with the Rambam taking us now in the other direction, from Rabbi Yehuda, from Rav Ashi, the author of the Talmud, going back to Moses. So I'm gonna go through that quickly. So it comes out that Rav Ashi, Ad Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Shalom, there was 40 generations, Arba'im Dorot, an important number. And these are them, Rav Ashi from Rava, and Rava from Rabba, and Rava from Rav Huna, Rav Huna from Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Shmuel, and Rav Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Shmuel from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbeinu HaKadosh from Rabbi Shimon his father, Rabbi Shimon from Rabbi Gamaliel his father, Rabbi Gamaliel from Rabbi Shimon his father, Rabbi Shimon from Rabbi Gamaliel the elder his father, Rabbi Gamaliel the elder from Rabbi Shimon his father, Rabbi Shimon from Hillel his father, and from Shammai. Hillel and Shammai from Shmai and Naphtali, Shmai and Naphtali from Yehuda and Shimon, Yehuda and Shimon from Yishuv and Prachi and Nitai Arbeli, Yishuv and Nitai from Yosef, Yezer, Yosef ben Yochanan, Yosef ben Yezer, Yosef ben Yochanan from Antignos, and Antignos from Shimon HaTzadik, Shimon HaTzadik from Ezra, Ezra from Baruch, Baruch from Jeremiah, Jeremiah from Tzfaniah, Tzfaniah from Habakkuk, Habakkuk from Nachum, Nachum from Joel, Joel from Micha, Micha from Yishai, Yishai from Amos from Hosea, Hosea from Yitzchai, Yitzchai from Yoyada, Yoyada from Elisha, Elisha from Elijah, Elijah from Achia, Achia from David, and David from Shmuel, and Shmuel from Eli, and Eli from Pichas, and Pichas from Yeshua. I feel like I'm doing Chad Gadya. Yeshua from Moses, and Moshe Rabbeinu from the mouth of the Almighty. Moshe Rabbeinu mipi Agvura. Nimtza shekulam me'Hashem alikei Yisrael. All of this, from Rav Ashi, you can trace it generation by generation. 40 people, all of it comes, this oral Torah, from the God, Lord of Israel. And you've done the first portion of Rambam of the 3-year cycle. I'm not sure the exact percentage, but you did a very small percentage of the 3 years. You're on the track. I'm going to open up to questions and answers or comments, but you did it. You're done. If you need to check out, we won't be offended. If you want to stick around, we're happy to talk. I just want to conclude with one idea, which is that you sometimes hear people say about the oral Torah, the tradition, that, you know, it's like a game of telephone, people will say. It's like, you know, you tell a person one thing, and then they say, yeah, by the time you get around in the birthday party, what you told the first kid, it's a whole different story. And so what I like to say is that Jewish tradition, the transmission of the oral Torah, did not happen at a birthday party, and it wasn't with kids. It was with the greatest sage of every generation. And it's not so long. It's only 40 years. It's 40 years till the Talmud is written. So it's actually 40 people. So imagine 40 of the greatest minds of our people. And not just great minds, but great hearts. People who committed their lives to the study of Torah and to the worship of God. In other words, they weren't just professors of Judaic studies at your favorite university. They were committed to the study of Torah and to the teaching of Torah and to living the Torah. That was their life. They spent their life. That was their entire passion. 40 of the greatest of our sages in history. And each of them meticulously passed on exactly what they had heard from generation to generation. And this is what the Rambam is demonstrating, that this whole 14 books, it all goes back to Moshe at Sinai, the explication. It's the Torah, it's the mitzvah that gives us the direction of how to apply the Torah. Now, I really do open it up to questions and comments. Bakasha.
Since it was written for the common Jew.
Well, I think I'll save that for when we get to that in the introduction. He's gonna talk about what he intended. I don't know if it's tomorrow's portion or the one after that. So why don't we wait till we see? I don't want to speak for Rambam. We'll see exactly how he intended it. I give you the short answer is that he's giving you the most accessible route, but he's obviously not trying to discourage anyone from studying in great depth, right? He's saying, here's your accessible route, but obviously if you have the capacity and you should put in the effort to delve in as deeply as you can on your own, just go through the Talmud, go through all the different arguments and see how all of these how they came to these conclusions. Andre, you had your hand up. Okay, looks like you texted me here. Okay, no problem. We will contact you via email. Matt, did that address your question?
Yeah, I had one other one.
Sure.
What is the difference between the Mishnah Torah and the Shulchan Aruch?
Difference between Mishnah Torah and Shulchan Aruch, great question. Mishnah Torah is the work of the Rambam, Maimonides. And Shulchan Aruch, Code of Jewish Law, is by Rabbi Yosef Karo a couple of hundred years later. And the main difference, they were both Sephardic Jews, and so Rabbi Yosef Karo, Shulchan Aruch, very much follows the Rambam's opinions about things. The main difference is that Rabbi Yosef Karo, from Spain, when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he left out anything that was not applicable or relevant in his day in the exile. So all of the laws of the temple, of the sacrifices, of the sabbatical year, anything that wasn't relevant outside the land of Israel and in the times of the temple, or in times when the temple was destroyed, he left out. They're just not there. So that's what I was saying in the beginning. If you want to go through all of Torah, all of God's laws, you have to do Rambam, whereas Shulchan Aruch deals specifically with things that are relevant today. It goes into more depth than Rambam. It gets into more detailed laws. The Shulchan Aruch, it deals with, you know, over time, other questions came up, which, you know, the Rambam doesn't necessarily deal with every single permutation of the law, and things also gathered from the time of the Rambam to Rabbi Yosef Karo, there were more questions that came up that were addressed by various sages, and so there's more detail in Rabbi Yosef Karo's Shulchan Aruch a couple hundred years later. All right, Jacob, are you going to say something?
No, Rabbi, I'm just listening.
Just listening. Fantastic. Charles, Vakasha.
We're taking from oral history to written. Can you kind of walk us through then in the evolution of the written? So if Rambam was kind of like, if you will, like a funnel, where he took all of that in, you know, 360 degrees, put it into a funnel, and then put it down. What was in the tree of Judaic literature or knowledge? What came next after that? In succession. And I realize it's not one week or one month or one year, but in succession, if the Ramban is kind of the center of this, how did it then go from there? Where did it go from there?
That's a great question. So The Rambam is the first, and there was a lot of controversy, we should say, that in his day, the Rambam was very controversial because what he was doing, he was kind of bypassing, in a way, the Talmud. And until then, it was like, oh, you got to study the Talmud to know the laws. And the Rambam says, oh, I just gave you the cliff notes. I gave you the bottom line over here. He was the first to really gather the Torah, the Torah of the Talmud, the laws of the Talmud, into a systematic books of, you know, here are going to be the laws of the holidays. Here's going to be the laws. I mean, the tractates of the Talmud are categorized that way, but it's more of a discussion. It's a free-flowing discussion. And so you could have a law about Shabbat in some other tractate. What the Rambam did is he went through it, and the encyclopedic mind was able to organize everything into these 14 books where all the laws that apply are there. So you talk about what happened next. There were others who started to do the same thing. And so the next big one is the Tur. The Tur precedes the Shulchan Aruch. The Tur also goes through, but like Rabbi Yosef Karo, it precedes Rabbi Yosef Karo, goes through all the laws that were relevant at that time. But different than the Rambam, the Torah goes into greater detail of the background, of the reasons, or the Rambam stays very dry. It just gives you, this is what it is, black and white. Doesn't get into the arguments, doesn't get into the reasons, just here it is. And the Torah went back and gave you more background. And so he also kind of went in the path of the Rambam of giving you the bottom line. And then the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote a commentary on the Rambam called Kesef Mishnah. And then he wrote a commentary on the Tur called Beit Yosef, the house of Joseph. His name was Joseph. He called it Beit Yosef. And then he went ahead and wrote the Shulchan Aruch. After the Shulchan Aruch, there was a Ashkenazi rabbi who wrote upon Rabbi Yosef Karo called the Mappa, the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Ishelish. And so that's the history. Then later you have other Shulchan Aruchs that are written. The first Chabad Rebbe wrote a Shulchan Aruch called Shulchan Aruch HaRav. You have the Mishnah Brura, which is written approximately 100 years ago by the Chafetz Chaim. And you have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that's written by Rabbi Shlomo Gansri. And to this day, you have every day another book comes out on the halachot of tzitzit, the halachot of Shabbat, the halachot of what you can do between Pesach and Shavuot with the restrictions that apply. So it's an ongoing thing, and you can point to the Rambam for getting it rolling. Thank you, Charles, for that question. Okay, well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been fantastic. We started the 3-year cycle